Public protests against so-called genetically modified foods have increased in recent years. Much of the criticism has been aimed at Monsanto, the chemical company that aggressively promoted genetically modified soybeans, cottons, and corn. Yet farmers have adopted genetically modified crops enthusiastically. Some say it's been the most rapid acceptance of new technology in the history of agriculture. Author Dan Charles writes about this saga of scientific breakthrough, intrigue, and competition in a new book, Lords of the Harvest, Biotech, Big Money, and the Future of Food. He spoke with NPR's Cheryl Corley.
There have been a lot of different criticisms made of genetically engineered crops. Worries about food safety, worries about risks to the environment. There are many complicated reasons for why people see dangers in these crops, and some of it, frankly, is a reaction to the claims the companies made. The companies said that these new plants, these genetically engineered plants, were dramatically new and different. And anytime something is new and different and technological, I think we've come to ask, well, what could the side effects be? What could the dangers be? And this was also being introduced to the marketplace by big chemical companies. Environmentalists have a history with big chemical companies. They don't like big chemical companies. Why should this be safe?
Let's talk about that political opposition just a little bit. Prince Charles even seemed to get in on the act.
Prince Charles, at a very crucial point in the summer of 1998, immediately after Monsanto embarked on a big advertising campaign in England, released under his name a long article in a leading British newspaper saying, I do not feed such food to my guests. I do not choose to eat it. They take us into realms that belong to God and God alone. Those are powerful words. They hearken back to some of the myths that we've heard in stories. The Frankenstein myth, trying to create life that's reserved for the divine. It's this idea of humans crossing boundaries that they should not cross.
Talking about crossing boundaries, I want to have you talk just a little bit about farmers who weren't too pleased with some of the ideas that Monsanto came up with in regards to how they handled seeds and how Monsanto got into this whole seed business.
I came to feel like this was kind of the hidden history of the GMO debate, and it involved the rules of ownership over seeds. You know, seeds are this package of life, and traditionally they were public property. Plant breeders shared them freely. Farmers were free to replant part of the harvest in their fields. Monsanto got into this business, you could say, in a wave of technological optimism, convinced that biotechnology made a difference, and then they kind of ran into the reality of the seed business, which was seed companies never made much money, in large part because they never really controlled their product. They put their product out there on the market, farmers bought it, and then outside the seed company's control, it reproduced and multiplied purely on its own. So Monsanto set about to change the rules of the seed business and to make seed private property. And it's based on patents and then contracts with seed companies and ultimately contracts with farmers, telling the farmers that if you buy our seed, you cannot replant part of the harvest. And in the end, they decided they had to buy up large sections of the seed industry. And they accomplished that in 1998. And I'm convinced that that decision to buy much of the seed industry made Monsanto sort of the public face of the fears of those who opposed monopoly control over life, so to speak, and really made Monsanto the enemy.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the whole issue of antitrust and monopoly came in.
Antitrust, monopoly, and also just sort of fears about corporate domination of something that a lot of people feel shouldn't be private property at all.
Well, in addition to Prince Charles getting in on the act, there was another, report which seemed to spur, opposition to biotechnology, and that had to do with the butterfly.
The monarch butterfly. In May of 1999, there was an experiment published in the journal Nature in which monarch butterfly larvae, little caterpillar-type things, when they ate the pollen from genetically engineered corn, they died. And, you know, the monarch butterfly story was just too juicy to ignore. Here's this big, beautiful monarch butterfly, and here's this new technological development seems to endanger one of our most beloved insect species. Provoked a huge outcry in the United States, really almost for the first time, and allowed the controversy which had already been going on in Europe to leap the Atlantic and come to the United States. There's been enormous amount of work over the intervening 2 years in trying to figure out whether that laboratory experience is duplicated in the real world. The answer seems to be no. It seems that the monarch butterfly is not in grave danger from a genetically engineered corn.
There seemed to be a double standard, as you say in your book, for GM foods, so. Though.
Well, yeah, I don't think any reasonable person can deny that genetically engineered crops are subjected to tougher tests, more scrutiny, than the products of traditional plant breeding in agriculture. There's some reason for that. You can do things with genetic engineering that you couldn't do with traditional plant breeding. Still, I would say there's a lot of things out there that are produced by traditional plant breeding, including, you know, seeds that have genetic mutations created by subjecting them to radiation or to chemicals to create kind of a new trait that doesn't exist in nature. Genetic engineering has been treated as different and potentially more dangerous. I'd actually like to see a standard applied more equally to both of those. But unlike some defenders of biotechnology, I don't want to see the regulation applied to biotechnology lowered. I'd actually like to see the standard of scrutiny applied to traditional agriculture raised a bit.
Dan Charles, an NPR reporter, speaking to Cheryl Corley. His new book is Lords of the Harvest, Biotech, Big Money, and the Future of Food. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.